John chapter 4. Jesus talks with a Samaritan woman. Now Jesus learned that the Pharisee had heard that he was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John, although in fact it was not Jesus who baptized but his disciples. So he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now he had to go through Samaria, so he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" For Jews did not associate with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, "Go, call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." "Woman," Jesus replied, "believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming, and is now come, when the true worshippers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. God is Spirit, and his worshippers must worship in the Spirit and in truth." The woman said, "I know that Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." Then Jesus declared, "I, the one speaking to you, I am he." Just then his disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman, but no one asked, "What do you want?" or why are you talking to her? Then, leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, "Come, see a man who told me everything I have done. Could this be the Messiah?" They came out of the town and made their way towards him. Meanwhile, his disciples urged him, "Rabbi, eat something." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you know nothing about." Then his disciples said to each other, "Could someone have brought him food?" "My food," Jesus said, "is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Don't you have a saying? It's still 4 months until harvest. I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Even now, the one who reaps draws a wage and harvests a crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Thus the saying, 'One sows and another reaps,' is true. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefits of their labor." Many of the Samaritans from the town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. "He told me everything I've ever done." So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. And because of this, his word, many more became believers. They said to the woman, "We no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the saviour of the world."
I love optical illusions. Sometimes our eyes can be deceived, can't they? What we see in front of us isn't quite what it seems. I've got a few optical illusions for you. I'll give you a moment to look at each one to see what you see. Here's the first one. What do you see? Do you see an old man with a beard and a hat? Does anybody see a dog with a bone? I'll give you another second. What if I flip it round like this? Same image. You can see the dog now. Okay, how about this one? It's a nice, simple drawing of a tree. Can you see anything unusual hiding in the tree? Anything there? Can you see any faces? If you can see one or two, how many faces in the tree can you see? Can you see 10? There's more than meets the eye with some of these images. Here's the last one. What do you see? Now, I won't say anything just yet because I think whatever I say will affect what you see. I think I saw a duck first. So if you didn't see a duck, maybe you can see a duck now. Or if you saw the duck, maybe you could see a rabbit or a hare. Can you see that? Well, these are illusions which, when we first see the image, there's more to it than meets the eye. And the story we've read about today might be a little bit like an optical illusion. The woman in the story didn't see what was right in front of her, or at least not straight away. And Jesus' disciples, they seem to not quite see what's in front of them either. The full picture is hiding in plain sight. Jesus is on his way back to Galilee and he travels through a town called Sychar. It's in the middle of the day, Jesus is tired, and he sits down by the well in the town. He asks a woman who he shouldn't really be talking to as a Jewish man for a drink. But things quickly turn around when he says that he could give her living water. Now this woman, she doesn't understand what he means, but she still wants this magical water. Wouldn't you want the water that would take away your thirst? Well, that's what she understands it to mean, that she'll no longer have to come back to the well. She doesn't see what is right in front of her. Well, then as they have this conversation, as we've just read, Jesus tells her the details about her life. A stranger couldn't possibly know, but yet Jesus tells her about the relationships that she's had. And she still doesn't quite see what's in front of her. The woman goes back to the town eventually after having talked more with Jesus. Jesus tells her details about her life, details that a stranger couldn't know. And she still doesn't see what's in front of her. They finally end up having this debate about the best place to worship, and Jesus reveals the full picture. He shows her who he is. Well, this is where she goes back to the town and tells people what she had seen, and we see in this story many others coming to see Jesus as well. So there's different characters in our story who reveal who Jesus is. But I want to challenge you, open your eyes to see Jesus' identity, Messiah. Open your eyes to see Jesus' identity. In this story, we have these different characters who give us different perspectives towards Jesus and who he is and what he does. And we see that Jesus is Messiah. This was the name for the long-expected king in Israel who would come and rescue God's people. The Messiah was God's chosen king. But what about the woman? Who does she see as she interacts with Jesus at the well? Well, she doesn't really see Jesus, like we said, when he mentions the living water. He's just a man in her eyes, a Jewish man. And then she still doesn't see when he tells her all about her life, although now she knows that there's something funny, something not quite usual going on. She says in verse 19, "I can see that you're a prophet. There's something different about this man." And then it's after this discussion on this best place to worship, is it this place or is it that place? Jesus says that true worshippers will worship in the spirit and the truth. And he tells her clearly that he is Messiah. He's the one that she'd been waiting for. And this is the reason that he can offer her living water. If you look at verses 25 and 26, it says, the woman said, I know that Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. Then Jesus declared, I, the one speaking to you, I am he. He tells her for sure that he is Messiah. And now she sees. Her eyes are opened. It's like that image was flipped around and she was able to see the full picture. She sees who Jesus really is. He's the king that she'd been waiting for. He is Messiah. And she goes back to the people in the town asking them, could this be the Messiah? She tells them what she had saw. She tells them what she had heard. And people come to faith. They believe in Jesus. She finally sees him for who he is. And the Samaritans from the town, they come and they see Jesus for who he really is. And they say it themselves that we know that this man really is the saviour of the world. Do you sometimes miss what is right in front of you? A game came into my mind when I was thinking about this. Maybe you've played the game before. It's called Dobble. It's a great game, but you need to be good with observation. There's little pictures on each of the cards, and you use these different cards, and you have to find the one picture on your card that matches the one picture on the card on the table. Now, the thing about this game is there is definitely one picture that matches on every card. So from your card to what's on the table, there will definitely be a match. But sometimes you miss what's right in front of you. Maybe it's the stress or the pressure of the game. Maybe you're tired or you're not wearing your glasses. But sometimes you just cannot see the match. You miss what's right in front of you. Or maybe like the illusions at the start. Sometimes it's impossible to see the full picture. We need to be told, that's what it is. And then when we see it, it's obvious. How could we not have seen? Well, what about Jesus? Is he like an optical illusion to you? Maybe you've seen and heard about him for a long time, for years and years. You know what he did, you know what he said, you know what he's like even, but you still haven't got the full picture. Well, this story helps us to see the big picture, that he is Messiah. He's the Christ. He's the King who is coming to rescue us. Open your eyes and see who Jesus really is. He is Messiah. Or maybe you've seen the full picture about Jesus already. And even when you go back and play a game like Dobble, just because you've seen it before, doesn't mean you'll get it right away again. You'll get stuck. You'll miss the matching picture. Is that how you are with Jesus right now? Are you feeling stuck that you're not really seeing Jesus for who he is? That he's the king of your life and he's come to rescue us. So when we put our faith in him, we need to respond and act in obedience toward him. Maybe we may know the truth about him, but we might forget about this truth as we live out our lives. Maybe we're ignoring this truth for now. Or maybe we're just distracted. There's too many other things going on for us to remember and to see clearly the truth about Jesus being Messiah, that he is the king of your life. If you've come to him and trusted in him, he gives us this living water. He promises to change our lives, to quench those thirsts that we have, those deepest longings, when we come to him in faith. Jesus is Messiah. He wanted to know this woman and to help her. He wanted to give her life. He wanted her to ask for living water. And he wants to give us life. He wants us to have this living water. So if you have seen Jesus or heard about him, be convinced as we read these words from the Bible that he is the King. He is the King of everything. And he wants to give you life. He wants us to have this living water. Open your eyes to see who Jesus really is. Are we too concerned maybe with the present needs that we have to see him for who he is? Too concerned with the day-to-day needs like bills or food or our houses? Too concerned with raising children or furthering our career? Maybe too concerned with studying for exams or staying healthy? These are all good things, but when they get in the way of us seeing who Jesus really is, there's something wrong. He wants us to see him as he is, as Messiah, as the Saviour who has come to rescue us and to give us life. And he wants to give us this living water. This isn't water that comes from a well. This is water that comes from his Spirit. If we would only ask, he would give us his Spirit, this living water, who will come and change us and well up in us to eternal life if we just ask. The living water, God's Spirit, will quench our deepest longings in a way that nothing else can. I'm sure you have those longings, that thirst for contentment, for joy, for security, for happiness, for friendship, for community. Well, these can only ultimately be quenched by living water. All other experiences will ultimately stop or fail or disappoint. Only the living water can quench our deepest longings and give us eternal life. And when we receive this living water, we experience a new life, one bubbling and flowing and gurgling with the life of the Spirit, a life of joy that flows over in love for God, who fulfills our deepest longings and gives us life that never ends. Now that sounds like my kind of water, and all we must do is ask. Ask Jesus, Messiah, and he will give it to us freely. So open your eyes to Jesus' identity. He is Messiah. But what else do we see from this passage today? Well, we need to open our eyes to Jesus' mission. He is the Saviour of the world. So we've looked at the woman. We've seen some of the interaction that she had with Jesus. And she got the picture. She understood who he was, and she went and she told others about him. But we have some other characters interrupting us a little bit way through this passage. It's the disciples. They were missing for this conversation because they'd gone to get food from the town. And they come back, and it seems that they're not quite understanding the full picture either about Jesus. The disciples are like a contrast for us to the Samaritan woman. She sees him for who he is, while it seems the disciples may not have done at this stage, or at least not the full picture. So the disciples come back, they've got the food, while the woman quickly goes back into the town, where she then begins to tell others of what she had seen and inviting them to come and see Jesus for themselves. And the disciples miss what's right in front of them. Their concern was for the literal physical food. But now Jesus begins to teach, and he begins to speak about another kind of food. Just like he taught the woman and was speaking to her about a different kind of water, now he's talking about a different kind of food. We see in verse 34 that Jesus' food is to do the work his Father had sent him to do. It was time for harvest. Now, it wasn't time for the grain to be pulled in. That's not what Jesus meant. It was time for people to be pulled in towards him, for people to be drawn to Jesus and to believe in him. And his mission, as the Samaritans themselves put it at the end of our passage, was to be the saviour of the world. Jesus' mission is to the whole world. And this incredible phrase is used at the end of the section by the Samaritans who believe in him. In verse 42, this man really is the saviour of the world. Well, let's look at the woman again, because she gets on board with this mission. His mission is to bring the message of who he is to the world. In the previous chapter, Jesus had a conversation by night with a man called Nicodemus. And we're not sure what he did right after that chat. We're left hanging just now in chapter 4. But there's no doubt with this woman. She leaves her water jar. She goes back to the town, which must have taken great courage as being a woman on the fringes. We heard about the life that she had, that she'd had many different relationships, many different husbands, and she would have been on the fringe of her society. The fact that she was coming to the well so late in the day, at midday, the hottest part of the day rather than the early morning, tells us that she would have been on the fringe. It would have taken courage for her to go, and then she tells the people about Jesus and what he had said to her. She goes and tells them. She sees the need to tell others about Jesus, because Jesus' mission is to the world, that he is saviour of the world, saviour to outsiders like this woman, to outsiders like the Samaritans, who the Jews and the Samaritans hated each other, that they did not get on culturally. But what about the disciples? What do they see? They don't see much beyond their next meal. Maybe you're a bit like that. Maybe when you're hungry, you cannot think or function until you've eaten. You have to sit down, you have to have your meal, you have to have your breakfast before you can start your day. Maybe you get midway through the day to lunchtime and you just cannot do anything else until you've had your lunch. Well, Grace made sure to bring snacks with her when we were out and about, and that was even before Perrin came along. She knew I wouldn't be much good if I needed to eat, so she was planning. But maybe you're like that. Maybe all, when you're hungry, all you can think of is, what am I going to eat next? Well, the disciples, naturally, they're hungry. They go and get the food and they urge Jesus to eat. And I love the response to what Jesus says. Look at verses 32 and 33. But he said to them, I have food to eat that you know nothing about. Then his disciples said to each other, could someone have brought him food? They failed to see what Jesus is talking about. Did someone else bring him food? Who could have done that? And now, just like Jesus used the water earlier to teach the woman, Jesus is using food to teach his disciples. Because of course, it's not about physical food, but Jesus is talking about completing the mission that the Father had given him to do. That was Jesus' food. That was his bread and butter, we might say. That's what he was focused on, was the food, the work the Father had given him to do. And Jesus tells his disciples to open their eyes and look at the fields. He says they're ready for harvest. Even now, right here, Jesus' mission to the world was being rolled out. Samaritans were coming to faith. Jesus' mission is to the world, to the woman on the fringe of society, to the Samaritans who were enemies of the Jews. But the disciples were just thinking about their stomachs. They didn't see Jesus' mission. Those closest to him didn't see what he was talking about. Are there basic things in your lives, think about your life, that are blinding us from Jesus' mission? Think in your experience, do you get tied up or focused on certain things, maybe things that are very good in and of themselves, but that can blind you from Jesus' mission? Do we see that Jesus is reaching out to the world through us? We need to open our eyes and see Jesus' mission, that he is saviour of the world. And not just to our world, our social bubble, those that we're connected to, but the whole world. His vision for the earth is that people would hear his name, that they would come and they would trust in him. Are there things blinding you from Jesus' mission? Maybe it's simply busyness. That's probably a major factor for lots of people. I'm so busy I can't even think about what Jesus' mission is. I don't have enough time, work, or kids, or friends, or exercise, or all of these things are getting in the way. I don't have enough time as things stand, let alone to think about Jesus' mission. Or maybe you have so much time, maybe in general, or maybe now during lockdown, that you've become switched off. You've so much time that you've just become a bit lethargic, not very motivated to do anything. We need to open our eyes and see Jesus' mission. Even though we may be very close to Jesus and his ways and his people, we might still fail to see his mission to bring people to him. And not just people we like, but people that we don't naturally associate with, people we don't get on with, people we hate, even though we should be showing love to people. He has come to save all kinds of people, people from all nations. The Samaritans and the Jews hated each other, but the gospel was for the Samaritans as well. And ultimately, we see it going to all nations. Who are the Samaritans in our lives? Are there people on the fringes that we can see who really need the gospel? Jesus wants us to be people that offer this gift of life to all those around us, including those we might not get on with, or who annoy us, or who are just completely different from us. What are we going to do to invite people to see Jesus for who he really is? How are we going to invite them to see the full picture about him? Well, let me encourage you that you probably don't have to change a whole lot of what you already do. We need to change our focus. So where you work, pray for opportunities to talk about Jesus. In school or college, pray that there be a chance to tell people why you don't get drunk. With your friends, pray for opportunities to tell them why you're part of a church. In our lives, we can pray that people would ask the questions of us and that we'd have opportunities in our day-to-day lives to speak about him. Or what about the Samaritans in our lives? The people we don't naturally gravitate towards? The neighbours or work colleagues who are from a different country or culture and we just really don't get on? Or people who we know are just a bit different, a bit odd. They've totally different interests and hobbies to me. I wouldn't know what to talk about with them. What about mums and dads or other kids who come from a rough background? What about people who are just not like us at all? We need to offer this amazing gift of living water that Jesus gives, life-giving water, life that never ends. Life that is full to the brim and overflowing. Maybe I can encourage you with just at least one way to reach out to others during this lockdown. We've got copies of this book, which will be available for people to take and give away if you let us know. Why not think of asking one person who's not a Christian if they would read the book at the same time as you? Just read it together. Maybe you can read it separately, then go for a walk if you can. Or go for a Zoom coffee and just talk about what you thought or what they thought about the book. That's just one way. But there are many, many others, many other ways that we can think of opportunities to engage with people. We need to open our eyes to Jesus' identity, that he is Messiah. And we need to open our eyes to Jesus' mission, that he is the saviour of the world. Let's accept the challenge that we read in verse 35. Open your eyes and look at the fields. With God's help, we need to open our eyes to see Jesus for who he really is. And because we see him for who he is, we need to see his mission. A mission to the whole world. He is Messiah. He is the Saviour. And just like the Samaritan said, do we see that this man Jesus really is the Saviour of the world? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this account in John, where we see what Jesus is like, who he is, his identity, and his mission, what he is seeking to do in this world. We thank you that Jesus is the King. He's the one you promised to send, and that you have sent him to be the Saviour of the whole world. We thank you for his love for us. We thank you that you have opened our eyes if we've come to trust him for ourselves. Thank you that you've helped us to see the full picture. Help us, Lord, to encourage others to see that full picture. Maybe even in our own lives, if we haven't seen it yet, open eyes, Lord. Help people to see who your Son really is. And Lord, help us to get on board with his mission, that we be people ourselves who go and tell others. Give us opportunity, Lord, in our schools, in our workplaces, at home, during lockdown, on Zoom, on phone calls, Lord, help us to talk about you and the ways in which you impact our lives. So, Lord, we thank you for who your Son is, the Messiah, the Saviour of the world. And we pray in his precious name. Amen.